And finally, to we're back with the Sundance Reel. And finally, to wrap up the Saturday show. Well, you know, you've heard of the McLaughlin Group, but you know, also famous at Sundance is the Darcy Bunch, which is our film industry pros who gather with David and come in every year to see us. And from going from west to east, we've got Ann Thompson with IndieWire.
Hi, Ann. Happy to be here. Okay. It's a ritual I love.
Yeah, all right. We love ritual. And John Sloss from Cinetech.
Cinetic, and I'm east of Bob Burney. Well, I guess west east in the studio. Got
and
it.
to the far east is Bob Burney from Amazon Studios.
Amazon Studios. And thanks for having me back,
David. Okay, well, it's always great to have you guys in here. And you know, I even saw that there was a blog headline a couple months ago that said, you know, Ann Thompson boldly makes her predictions for the Golden Globes. Did you know
terribly, but I always do terribly with the Globes. Oh, they're not predictable. Oscars are better.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's address this. Is independent film now the tail on the much bigger dog of television?
Well, I think television and independent film are both, I mean, they're both sort of blending together. The directors go from TV to film and back and forth, the actors. So there's no, and it's, I think the success of independent film is also, and television is driving each other. Like the more the better. I think the fourth quarter of this year with all the great films, I think films are out there doing good. It makes people go to other movies and watch television.
What do you think, John?
Yeah. I think Bob's exactly right. It's very fluid. You know, the idea of a 12-hour narrative, is appealing to people, it's appealing to storytellers, it's appealing to actors, and it's appealing to the audience. But if you look at the fourth quarter and you look at what was working in the cinemas, that's very much alive.
And I think Sundance, again, is indicative of what an important role the independents play as a sort of farm team for the entire industry. People are here, you know, the HBO guy, Len LaMotto, all these people, they're all looking for talent. And that's what it's about.
I mean, it is true. If you look at whether it's Rian Johnson or Justin Lin or even Jake Kasdan, you look at the people who are making the billion-dollar grossing films.
Rian Johnson was here with Brick not so long ago.
Which I happen to sell.
Can you tell us how much you sold it for back in the day?
$1 billion.
$1 billion
is not, what it used to be.
We have, you know, indie director I've worked with a lot, Nicholas Vending Refn, and he's making for our series side at Amazon a huge series now.
Mm-hmm. But is it, to overstate it, it used to be that independent film was kind of the of a content driver that television might pick up on later on. Is that, that's not the case anymore. It's much more symbiotic, I would think.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I think, in fact, television is probably driving it a bit even more. It's definitely equal on parity.
Okay. What are the tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts, going to do for independent film or for cinema at all? Is that going to make that much of a difference?
Well, it certainly could accelerate Apple's move into the space. They seem to be repatriating billions and billions of dollars, which, I don't know.
What's the timing on that, John?
I don't know, and I try not to give too much promotion to the GOP and the president, but it seems like, you know, if the stock market's any indication, it's already being taken on board. I mean,
well,
the timing's now.
If the reports about Amazon are any indication, they don't seem to be hurting too much.
Yeah, I think we have, you know, the series side has huge bets, Lord of the Rings, and we're making lots of movies.
Bob, are you going to spill the beans here on which city is going to get the second Amazon headquarters?
No, I mean, and we're the last to know, but it's like huge number of jobs and stuff.
We have a technical park 6 miles out of Park City by the highway. You know, just saying.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I'll note that.
I heard that Amazon, I was talking to someone on the bus, which I've been taking. I've heard that Amazon has a warehouse in Utah with The building itself is 26 acres, so you're already a presence here. And we rely on you for predictions. What city is Amazon going to choose? Just say anything.
No clue.
Well, I had a question for Bob and John, because you're the folks that are here. You're looking for product.
I'm looking to sell product.
And we're buying.
You're buying. Well, maybe the question that is directly for Bob, but we gave a version of this question to John Cooper. But what would happen if there's a great premiere at the Eccles tonight, and you huddle with the filmmaker, and he's willing to make a good deal, and it's a pretty significant amount of money, and maybe it's sets a record for Sundance, and you purchase the rights on this film. Three days later, three women come forward and say that the director assaulted them in a hot tub at different dates in the past. Maybe at Sundance, who knows? But
what was the film where this happened? Wasn't it 2 years ago? The film.
Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation. This happened. What was
it's
the?
It's a cloud over the industry. This kind of thing. Sure.
Absolutely, because in that particular case, it really hurt the movie. And I think it's no one knows what's going on now, because it's not about just films that are premiering. It's films that are going to be made, and everybody wants to know everything about everybody that's in the movie in any way, and no one can know. But it's a cloud hanging over production, acquisitions, everything.
Well, John, you draw up contracts. I mean, your firm does this kind of work. Is there a morals clause? Is there something that have you revised contracts to account for this?
Well, I wouldn't be the one promoting morals contracts or clauses, but yes, they are clearly going to be part of the conversation. And interestingly enough, I also think it's going to accelerate the release of films acquired at Sundance, because every day leaves open the possibility of some new disclosure.
That's true. To your question, like, will we buy the film Saturday and release it next week?
Exactly.
Let's step back to last year's. Is there, for the three of you, is there a film that had extremely, what performed best among Sundance films last year, in the past year, and what film was the classic, you know, Sundance explosion of interest and underperformance in the broader market?
So you've got Bob's The Big Sick, which he can claim credit for, and then you've got Patty Cakes from Fox Searchlight, which sold for $9.5 million and made less than just about $1 million.
I like that film.
It was an excellent film, but it didn't appear to be a theatrical film. Bob, you could address that.
Like The Big Sick was a big sale here last year and ended up performing really well, I think. And also, the typical kind of comedy film like that is not expected usually to get in the awards circuit, but Big Sick has been right up there. So that's been one of the best performing ones. And Patty Cakes, whatever reason, did not connect with the audience, and that's sort of both sides of the equation. You can bet big, and it can go either way.
So companies like Searchlight, you're still in the game, but a lot of companies like Searchlight and Focus are sort of saying, we're putting our money in production. We're going to control what we're making, and we're not going to buy as many movies. We're not going to get caught in this kind of bidding war.
Which is a weird paradox, because obviously production has more unknown inherent in it than seeing a finished film and buying it. But Searchlight is right in the thick of it with the awards this year, and those are from productions.
That's so, right.
What about Searchlight? What's the future of Searchlight? We're doing predictions
here.
Word
on the street is that they're going to survive because they are distinct and unique and provide a service that no one else at Disney does. And that things are looking good. We don't know, but things are looking good.
And as Disney develops its over-the-top service, they're really going to need content. So I think they're going to go for a full range, which would include Searchlight-type movies.
And I think especially the timing, having Guillermo's movie and Three Billboards when you're being acquired, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of Oscar nominated films, and we need some predictions, please.
Speaking of Shape of Water, that's my pick for Best Picture. We will find out on the it will be the movie that gets the most nominations. That's going to lend it some momentum because it has everything. It appeals to men. It has appeals to women. It has all the crafts behind it, the Directors Guild behind it, PGA, everything. So Three Billboards, which has been sort of winning things, I have a strong sense that that's a more divisive movie.
Okay, is that what you predict would win or what you want to? Well, what's in
predict
your heart?
Predict would win.
Yeah.
And The Shape of Water was also my favorite movie of the year.
Well, certainly, I think, for sure, he'll get director.
Yes.
Guillermo.
Yes, he will.
Because he's, I think, everybody in Hollywood and the world would like to see that.
Yeah, he's immensely popular.
He is. He really is.
Any other? Best actress?
Frances McDormand, I would say. Again, she's going against Sally Hawkins for Shape of Water, but I think Frances will continue to win. And the supporting actress race will be between Allison Janney and the Lady Bird actress, who I think could actually
Laurie Metcalf.
Laurie Metcalf.
Oh, so you don't see Saoirse Ronan winning Best Actress?
I don't think so. I think I think Greta Gerwig will win Screenplay.
I think Fran McDormand. You know, if you think of her throwing Molotov cocktails in the movie, that sort of attitude and for women in general, that let's get behind that.
Okay, and Best Actor?
Oh, that'll be Gary Oldman, I'm pretty sure.
Any thoughts about new genres, new kinds of films emerging this year at Sundance? Is it too soon to generalize? If it is, just generalize anyway.
Well, there are some documentary filmmakers making features, and so you have Crystal Mazel, who is here with Wolfpack, with this Skate Kitchen, where it's sort of like a kids-like movie, where she observes these tough girl skaters in New York. And then you have Bart Layton making a transition from The Imposter to American Animals, which played very well yesterday at the Eccles. Clever mixing of documentary and feature.
I think that's kind of a trend. If you look at American Animals, which is a brilliant combination. In fact, the actual characters were almost as, I don't want to say more, but
no, they make it work. I think.
And then if you compare that to Errol Morris's Wormwood, and
very close.
It's a trend.
Isn't that what Clint Eastwood's doing with his new film?
Yeah, exactly.
He's using the actual people from the assault on the train as the stars of his movie.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed when the director of American Animals said he wouldn't bring the real people out on stage because. By the end of the film, those were the people I really wanted to hear from. And that one guy is great. The one guy who was the animator of the ring of would-be art thieves or book thieves from a university is now studying filmmaking. So, God.
There it is.
It's a natural evolution.
A VC full circle.
And again, these kids went to prison. So.
He had a flair for the dramatic.
Yeah, he did. He certainly thought he did. I don't want to give... So, go see it and make your own decisions, folks. Any thoughts about awards here at the festival? Any things that really, and any things that you've really, really liked?
I just want to give a plug, as I want to do, for documentaries. There are tremendously commercial documentaries at the festival this year. It's unclear where they will factor in the awards conversation at the end of the year, but in terms of just pure commercial populism, there's great.
The one I keep hearing about, which I have to try to see today, is Won't You Be My Neighbor, which is one of the better filmmakers, Morgan Neville, and he's addressing, of course, Mr. Rogers. And apparently this has a very deep emotional impact on people. People cry.
I think Sundance is known for documentaries, and the audience response is great here. The opening was Generation Wealth, Lauren Greenfield, who's been back. She had Queen of Versailles, and I think people look forward to docs here, the audience.
Yeah, if I could make, well, I'm not going to plug it. I saw before the festival Three Identical Strangers, which is an irresistible crowd pleaser about triplets separated at birth. And I don't want to give too much away, but this is something that the audience won't be able to take itself away from. It plays extremely well. The characters are fantastic, and the story behind it is really a unnerving testimony about scientific research. And you wonder what the scientific research in our era is going to make for a film 20 years from now.
And maybe if we have a little time, can anybody tell me, you know, we're talking about the value of art objects with some other films in the festival, but does anybody know if you got a bootleg copy of All the Money in the World with Kevin Spacey, how valuable would that be?
They say there may be some version of this movie shown on DVD at some point.
So it's, let's say, it makes it, it's more valuable than the latest snuff film, unless the person in the snuff film is Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, snuffing someone's career. Yeah.
By the way, I saw All the Money in the World.
With the Spacey.
No, I saw the one with Christopher Plummer.
The Plummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really not all that it could have been.
Okay.
Does anybody, well, I know Bob, the very discreet Bob Burney, is nodding approvingly.
Yeah, okay. I mean, look, it is what it is, yeah. And I thought I also thought it was weird to attract the audience with just the ear on the billboard, like a cut-off bloody ear. That made me want to go.
It worked for Vincent van Gogh. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
By the way, the other character in this saga at Sundance, back to the festival, is Netflix. Yeah. And one of the favorite movies I saw was called Private Life from Tamara Jenkins, which was on opening night. And you'll see that in Netflix eventually.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for gathering here for the Sundance Reel. I want to thank David Darcy and the panel, who are not three identical strangers, but who are Ann Thompson of IndieWire, Bob Burney of Amazon Studios, John Sloss of Cinetic, and this is KBCW Park City. This program is presented by Sandra Lee Incorporated with the documentary Prescription, Early Detection, A Cancer Journey with Sandra Lee. Thanks very much. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Thank you. A pleasure, as always.
Some of the world's up-and-coming filmmakers will be in Park City for the 2018 Sundance Film Festival, and you can find out all about their newest project. Tune into KPCW each weekday morning between 9 and 10 for the Sundance Reel, and for the first weekend of the festival between 8 and 10 to hear from filmmakers, producers, and film critics. That's the Sundance Reel through January 26th right here on KPCW or online at kpcw.org.
Support for the Sundance Reel comes from the documentary Prescription, Early Detection, A Cancer Journey with Sandra Lee, with public screenings during the 2018 Sundance Film Festival.